Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And welcome to this episode. We are going to be rewatching Great British Bake Off season 16, episode 6, Pastry Week.
Yum, yum, yum.
I love a pastry. But before we do that, it's been a kind of crazy week for the pod.
Nancy, we're influencers now.
We have broken through the internet. We have solved world peace. Not actually.
We've actually sowed discontent, but
we went viral on TikTok this week.
At least we think so. What is 200,000 views these days? You know, is that even like a incredible number? We don't know. It's a pretty big number in absolute terms, so I'm willing to concede that.
Yeah. Look, it feels big to me. We're no, you know, like content creation Gen Zer who like knows what they're doing.
No
but
cap.
This feels like an enormous victory. And so we want to take this moment to say, one, welcome to our new fans. All 37 new followers that we got on TikTok. Two, thank you for your support. Three, didn't know how many of you hated British accents as much as we do. And four, follow us on TikTok, I guess.
Yeah. And we're going to try to figure that out. That'll be fun. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But yeah, if we look or sound any different, it's because we're famous now.
If we start treating people differently, it's because we're famous now.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I mean, that's the only leftover I think we have. Oh, and also like follow us on Instagram, our first home. Sorry, Mark Zuckerberg, we might be moving on.
Bye.
And yeah, follow us on Instagram, like, comment, DM us. We love you and your thoughts. But I think other than that, Bits, let's begin.
Okay, Nancy, episode 6, Pastry Week.
I really enjoyed this episode, primarily because the technical brought me back to an OG bake-off that I didn't realize I needed.
Could not agree more. And I will amend that sentiment because I share it to say, for me, OG bake-off is when they bake like huge rectangles of meat. Like when they have like the pastry challenge, that's just like make like a huge log of ground meat and then like put a little bit of pastry dough around it. Like that to me is peak British Bake Off. And that's what we got this week. Twice.
Yes.
Twice.
Twice.
Cooked for Nelson Mandela. Twice.
Twice. Shout out to Top Chef Seattle. Look, we'll get to it when we get to the technical, but like, part of, I think, what captured the American imagination around Great British Bake Off was how obscure and weird some of the bakes were.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that in full force this week.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's jump into it because this was a real delight. Oh, she's putting on her glasses. She's
I know.
Ready
I have
go.
To all the better to see this with. we started out with a signature that was a savory pastry plait. I'm glad we got a plaid. It's been a minute.
I know.
Love it. I mean, any other thoughts on this before we just start talking about what meat people put in these things?
Meat. My thoughts on this. I do love a sausage roll. I think that they are tasty. This is a lot of sausage meat. Like, yeah. I don't know that I need that much sausage roll in my life, but it was fun to see them just create huge logs of meat.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. Where I want to start, and this might be coming in hot, pun intended, like right at the top of this episode, but I'm starting to piece together something about Paul Hollywood that I don't think is particularly savory. Do you know where I'm going with this?
No, please continue.
Okay. Viewers will remember that last season, Paul and Prue had their gobs absolutely smacked by gochujang. a very common Korean ingredient, yeah. A spice paste. They were floored at this flavor. They had never had it. They were like, whoa, I can't get, that's the most unusual thing.
Would you say this
thing.
Was?
What's this called? And of course he pronounces it incorrectly. Like, go, I don't even know how he did it. But that was sort of the first inkling I had that perhaps Paul and Bru don't really engage with East Asian cultures all that often.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to this episode. We're kicking it off with Paul expressing adamant disgust at Ian using tofu.
Right. Walking
and
away.
And then we have Tom making his Hong Kong-inspired sausage roll, and he holds up a jar of, like, you can get it in the most basic supermarket, chili oil. And Paul takes it. He's like, I've never seen this stuff before. Like, oh, that smell is intense.
Oh, my God.
And I just feel like I now have three data points and not a story make. Paul, I don't want to say what I'm not going to say. What
just
I'm about
wait
to say,
until you hear about soy sauce.
You don't even know what you have coming for you. They make it in Japan.
Gotta do a full tour of Southeast Asia.
Like, from I your get grocery. That. The British Empire didn't have like the most amount of luck in East Asia, but come on, my guy. Like, please. You need to explore some cuisines past, I don't know what parallel they're on, but like, come on. It's pretty embarrassing.
Whatever. You know, like,
are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I'm picking it up. I'm for sure picking it up. It only serves to bolster my strong and positive opinions on, by comparison, the Top Chef judges who are always a cut ahead on what is happening. And
oh,
I get it.
God.
It's like apples and oranges. And
no,
the British can be oranges because they love oranges. So we'll be the apples. But like, yeah, no, well spotted.
I'm going to be keeping an eye out for this for eternity now. That man just needs a good old trip to China to blow his senses apart.
At least he knows that Jamaica is not part of Asia, you know? which, can we start there? Can we start with Aaron's Jamaican beef patty?
Let's platty. Start there.
I loved that. That was a fun platty. Name, first of all. Looked incredible. Maybe we shouldn't have started on the strongest one, but it's always good to start at the top and then run down from there. Wow, beautiful. Also love the color.
Beautiful. I loved it. Complaints. I love a Jamaican beef patty.
And you know what? He dialed back the spices, and I was like, oh, no, that's going to be a problem. But not with these two.
Not with these two. Pieces of Wonder Bread. Like, they have never experienced sensory overload like this.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, I was really proud of him. And, like, I loved his exchange with Allison when they were talking about their Jamaican heritage. It was just really sweet. We love Aaron on this pod. I always am elated when he's succeeding.
Yes, same. We have officially reached that era of any competition show where I love every single person left in this group.
Yes.
And that also goes for Ian. I just love Ian. He made a stewsage roll, which you had already mentioned included some tofu and broccoli. We also learned that Paul Hollywood gave David Zwimmer a handshake, and that David Zwimmer was in the tent and did stuff. That must have been like a celebrity or Christmas
special.
Yeah,
I actually saw it. And I recalled it.
You were there in the room when it happened?
I was in the tent where it happened. Whatever British nobility family that's like completely house poor that has lucked into the Great British Bake Off renting out their estate every year for this.
Gangbusters.
They're laughing all the way to the bank. They're like sitting around and they're just like, ha ha ha, these commoners use our land to bake.
Literally one patch. Oh my God.
Because now Bake Off, we also know there's the Great American Baking Show, which we are huge fans of. Watch it on the Roku channel. But they film that there. And then all year they do these celebrity specials. And a few years ago, the Christmas special had David Schwimmer. and wow. he did something with tofu, and Paul Hollywood gave him a handshake for it.
I'd make a Friends joke, but I never watched Friends, and I don't.
Neither did I.
He was Ross. Wow, we share that, actually. We share that strong opinion. Oh, that's nice. God, look at us. I don't care about it.
I don't care about it either. Oh, I've also God. Only ever seen one episode of Seinfeld.
Okay, I've seen more than that, but
it's a problem for me in some of my friendships and relationships.
Yeah. I think that's
a problem.
I think that's a problem. Nancy, who's jumping out besides these
next
folks?
Next up, we need justice for Tom and his delicious sounding Hong Kong sausage roll. I mean, mwah, 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 putting dumpling filling inside a sausage roll, sign me up. Also, I'm jealous that he lived in Hong Kong. That's my dream, is to live in Hong Kong.
I bet he's probably so cool. I did have a thought about Tom this episode, which is like, Tom is, he's so dashing. Like, he's just dashing. And he kind of reminds me of the guy who's like kind of the good guy the whole movie that ends up being the baddie in the end. You know, like, he's just so debonair in a certain, like, really specifically British way. But you love the baddie version of him, too. Like, it's no shade against him. It's just, like, he's this very – he just reminds me so much of, like, a character on Committed to Film or something. I don't know why. I just – maybe I'm reading more than I should into this. But, yeah, huge Tom fan.
Huge Tom fan. See, I think of him as the exact opposite of what you described. Like, he is incredibly handsome and cool and interesting, but I think he's a closet, like, total nerd who just happens to be very attractive. Because, like, you know, when he threw in that he lived in Hong Kong, that was a surprise to me. I would not have pegged him for that kind of guy. Yeah. And I think maybe he is just a real weirdo in a really handsome person's body.
Mm-hmm,
and that's my view. So I don't know that debonair is the word I would use, he's got something lurking under the surface.
Okay. I'll allow that too. That. Yeah. Okay. There's more to them.
Glad we agree. Yeah. And we're big fans. Other ones, let's go to another geographic based bake. Let's talk about Natalia's chicken Kiev.
That looked big. The size of Kiev.
It was huge. It was so big that Allison and Noel, when they saw it come out of the oven, they were like, whoa, look at the size of that thing.
Bazunga.
But she did. Whenever I think of chicken Kiev, I think of the Mad Men episode when Don goes out with, I think it's Anna Camp. It's like right after he got divorced from Betty. And chicken Kiev has like come to New York and like they make her a bib. But she succeeded with the garlic butter just like oozing out everywhere. Yeah. That's why you wear the bib.
I love it. I love it. She did it. She racked it. I would like to talk about Mr. Going Full Puff. You never go full puff. Toby. Toby's a real renegade. Toby's a kind of renegade in a – okay, we're like all for making overgeneralizations about everybody's character this episode, so I'll just keep that line of sight going. He is sort of like the guy who just refuses to do the thing the way that the teacher says to do it and is convinced, like, I have found the right way to do it, and I'm not going to, like, bother with, like, learning how you are explaining to do it. I'm going to figure out how I want to do it and then, like, get good at the way I do it. I don't know. Like, I'm not explaining it as well as it is in my head, but like,
you are 100% right. You are 100% right. If I had to put him in like a Top Chef analog, I'd maybe call him like a Marcel. Like, he's not quite as experimental, but he is definitely the type of chef who gets really, really good and thinks he's not super arrogant, but he does think he knows a little more than what the challenge will allow.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. And it's no shade. And I agree. Like, it's not arrogant. It's just sort of like his way of operating. Like, exactly. I mean, not to jump ahead, but like, he thought the challenge like later was 4.5 hours. Like,
4.5 hours.
There's just certain amount of information that just does not reach his like central brain. And yeah, so. But he went full puff, and I was glad that he didn't back down from that. Like, you stay puff strong, even though this puff didn't puff up all the way. Even though that puff wasn't puffing.
That puff wasn't puffing, but go puff go. Because he stuck it to Paul. And maybe it didn't puff 100%. But Paul is literally a bit smug.
Yeah, like Paul, can you think of a time that Paul was ever like, you can't do that? Like, there's like, you can't do that. Like, okay, it was, let him try.
Yeah, let him try. Let him try and fail, I guess. I don't know. Let I just like,
go.
Paul's in a really weird space this season. Because I think for the first few seasons, he was the Simon Cowell. And then I think the celebrity maybe went to his head. We know he famously cheated on his wife. And like he – and then it culminated last season in the free-for-all.
Wait, Paul cheated on his wife?
Yes, dude. We covered this last season.
No, we only talked about Prue's infidelity.
No, 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 no.
Wow. Paul. Okay. Or look who's Toby now. I can't keep everybody's infidelity straight. I've been chewing the Lily Allen.
Either he cheated on his wife or he had an affair with his co-host on another baking show.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
it was sort of like a Chris Harrison marrying one of the Bachelor producers situation.
Oh, okay. Ew. That's so gross to be reminded of. That was so gross.
Chris Harrison.
Why would you ever marry Chris Harrison? Or like be with him. Okay, I'm sorry. That's so mean. We are a lot meaner when we talk about this show. That wasn't even about that. Oh my God. Okay.
Wait, what? Okay. What point was I making? I know what it was. Paul was sort of the Simon Cowell. And then I think the like sort of internet lust for Paul Hollywood got to his head. And then it culminated in last season. He was giving out handies for free, like a girl, like a middle school girl, you know? That was an incredibly off-color joke. He was just loosey-goosey. And I think he got a lot of criticism last season for being a bit too nice. And he's really reining it back this season.
No handies.
He's still – no handies, as Toby said. Paul's not giving out handies this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we're just seeing him in a weird era, as the kids would say.
Yeah, yeah,
he's trying to figure out his identity.
Okay. Yeah, he's in that era.
Okay. Let's talk. Okay, we've talked Tom, we've talked Aaron, we've talked Natalia, we've talked Toby, we've talked Ian. I want to talk about Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie made a Paul Hollywood recipe, but gave it her own spin. And she excelled in this challenge.
Yeah.
I am really feeling Leslie. I'll put a pin in that thought for later.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, good.
But I really was so impressed with her performance this episode, and particularly on her sausage roll.
Completely agree. I loved watching her. She had a fun app. On the whole, I know we didn't talk about Jasmine, but it's fine. Like, I'm tired of this challenge. Let's talk about the technical. Okay, the technical, the pièce de résistance of Pastry Week, in my humble opinion. They had to make a gala pie and... Okay, of course. Sorry, gala pie.
Gala.
It is a traditional British meat pie, a variation on the pork pie, with the addition of a hard-boiled eggs that run through the center. So it's like they call it the pie with the eye because anytime you cut it, you should see that egg in the middle. And they had to put some piccalilli on the side or something. I see this, like I already said, peak GBBO, gross
this
as hell.
We come to this place for obscure British
for the meatloaf wrapped in pastry.
We haven't gotten a hot watercress pastry on GBBO in a long time.
Yeah,
this is some old vintage Mary Berry ass Great British Bake Off, and I am so happy to be here because it is so obscure and so weird and so gross. Sorry. And
so
we just delight in every minute of it. I don't want that pie. I don't want to try that thing in any circumstance.
In any lifetime.
In any lifetime.
In any timeline.
So in any timeline, I would not find that pie. Like, get it out of here. God. But it was so kooky and gross and weird, and I loved
it. When do you crave this? Like, British listeners, when are you like craving this thing? Like, when do you, is it a holiday? Is it like a roast thing? Like, when are you sitting down and tucking into this? Because I just can't wrap my head around, you know, it's sort of everything that goes into a hamburger, but in a format that I don't, you know, you've got like some ground meat. Yeah, it's not pork, yeah. I guess. I'm trying to like, you know, if you discombobulate the things, if you like take it all apart to its like basic elements and like reassemble it, you can make tasty, adjacently tasty yes. things. But yeah, they just seem to find the like most disgusting way to like put stuff together. And then also not only in flavor, but in the way that it looks. So the egg just floating like that.
So unappetizing.
I'm speechless.
And like, but that thing was hard boiled, you know, like it was cooked within an inch of its life.
And the drama, of course, the drama met the challenge, which is like to poke the hole or not. Why wouldn't you just poke a hole?
I agree. Like, maybe because too much more, they're thinking is like it'll be dry if you do.
I don't know how. That seems really tough.
Like, you're literally cooking like 2 pounds of meat. I was amazed that it cooked through at all.
I know. That the egg was cooked. So was the egg meat. Cooked before it went in? I guess, yeah, it had to have been. Yeah, right.
It had to have been, right? Like, oh, holy moly. Right. That was disgusting.
Dude, okay, so some people poked, some people didn't. Whose was the most disgusting? Who did the worst job at the worst looking thing? I forget. Was it Aaron?
So Aaron came in last. His yeah. meat looked pretty gray, all things considered. It yeah. was not good looking.
Yeah.
And then, so when Aaron, Tom, Natalia, Toby, Leslie, Ian, and then Jasmine won the technical.
Okay. Yeah.
I know it's not nice. This is... I need to – Ilian, that was the woman's name last season who got the first yeah. handshake and then was just like not good. And there's always the like fastidious good student.
Yeah, yes.
On
yes.
Bake Off, and they shine early. They do. But I never vibe with them.
I know. Just, I like, don't either. Why? We like an underdog. Pet. That's why. Yeah.
We like an underdog, but it's a little teacher's pet for me. Like,
yes, it is a little bit.
Following the rules and getting an A as opposed to trusting your instincts, doing something crazy and getting an yes. A plus.
Yes. Yeah, the difference
it's,
was like
just a little predictable.
You know, Dylan last season with Dylan, right? Yeah. He was pretty renegade from the jump, and then he kind of yeah. quickly became a favorite. We haven't seen that happen this season.
No.
I mean, the stuff like that is a bit of a, you know, lightning in a bottle. Like, there's yeah. not every season that fits that prototype, but yeah, I'm with you on that. I completely agree on that. That I was like the crux of my, I think, my judgy table last week too.
Okay, that was such a fun technical. Like, it gave me the momentum to keep going for a long time, and I hope we see more obscure, weird technicals going forward because they just are the best.
Amen, sister. But
let's talk Showstopper. A visually stunning sculpted tart.
Oh, yes. It's got to tell a story.
It's got to tell a story.
We're getting nosy. Okay. Okay, Paul. What a weird way to put that.
I loved the little bit that they did. Like, if anyone wants a visual of what this looks like, and then Allison walked, and then Noel walked, and then Prue walked, and then Paul was like, no, I will not participate in this.
What did Prue do with her body? What was that? It was crazy.
No idea.
The music that they picked was perfect too. It was like it was really wild.
The Bake Off editing team and social media team are top notch.
Yeah.
Best in the industry.
Yeah.
Their social content is so far and away better than anything I've seen of any competition reality show.
Yes.
It is.
They're like
so
clearly
funny.
Having a really fun time. Yeah.
Yes. And like, now that we're famous on TikTok, yes. I, you know, spend a lot of time on TikTok now. As in,
for the
like
fans.
My phone. I mean, you have it on our account on your phone too. All day on Tuesday, just absolute deluge of notifications. But that's not a complaint. Please let us continue going viral. But like, Aaron's all over their TikTok, and like, they make funny videos clearly while they're waiting. I'm obsessed with it.
Yes.
So yeah, we've got these visually stunning sculpted tarts.
I love that there was a tart base. I'm glad we got a tart. Like,
yeah, we never get tarts.
Because they looked really good. They sounded really good. Let's see. Where do we want to start? I mean, Natalia rocking a swan. That looked pretty beautiful.
That was beautiful.
That was a good idea. Her tart was like less impressive. The pastry was overworked and the flavors were just like kind of not there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that they had comments about she had overworked her pastry a bit. So I think technically, unfortunately, it didn't go down. But Prue's critique that the raspberry overpowered things, like, I don't mind. I'd eat it.
Yeah, I agree.
I love raspberry. I love pistachio. And I love chocolate. I'm not pissed about this combination of things. And if the raspberry overpowers it, put me in jail because I'll eat it.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Yeah. So then now let's talk about, okay, who do I want to talk about here? Let's talk about Ian, your favorite.
Ooh. My favorite.
So Ian made a boozy pecan pie with some like Irish lore about giants.
Yeah, the Giant's Causeway. I loved this. You know this. I love that he does like fun little stuff like this. I'm familiar with it from like a lore perspective. It's like, it's this area that it's like a nature park preserve and all of the stone, the way that the stones are organized, like looks like a bunch of like steps and yeah, it's really interesting looking if you Google it. But it's right by the water's edge.
Yeah. He was so creative with the way he did it. I loved it. And, I think they really liked it. However, Miss Prue told him it was too boozy. We didn't know that was possible for her.
Not in her lifetime.
But yeah, he's just a delight. Oh, the other thing we need to talk about is how he is vegan and had to make a meat pie in the technical.
Oh, yeah.
And still came in second.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's really hard to like mess up ground meat, I think.
I was going to say like they were making a disgusting recipe. So I don't really know how you distinguish between good and bad.
Yeah. If there was ever a thing that you couldn't taste, that's a pretty good one.
Yep. Okay. Who do you want to talk about?
I really also loved the like face work on that. You know, he did the really good decoration in a similar vein. Aaron, loved the perspective that he played with. I loved the color that he played with. It felt really like he had a pretty good like art direction for that piece. I don't know. You know, there was a little bit of roughness around the edges, but like from if you step back and take a look at it, I was pretty blown away.
I love that he made the tart like a mirrored lake. I thought that was so pretty.
That's super smart. I thought that was really smart.
Unfortunately for him, I don't think they loved the flavor of it. They didn't dislike it, but Prue said it was strange but new.
We're back on that again. We're back on that.
Who's next?
Toby.
Let's talk Toby. So Toby made honey custard with blackberry custard. Something like that. I must have...
Yeah, it was like a burnt honey with blackberry.
Yes.
And he did like a roller coaster, which, you know, it was a little boring. It was like it was like two colors. It was like the like pastry and then the grass. And that was it.
He, you know, famously said that he thought that they had 4.5 hours instead of 4. Yeah. Which I don't know how I feel about that.
I missed the illustration, you know, when they do that.
Yeah, what it was supposed to look like.
So I'd be curious, like, what the delta was there. He didn't really say, like, I didn't have time to get certain things on, but I guess that was understood. The other one, Thomas, similarly, like, built engaging structure on the Connect Four. I thought that was cute.
So cute. And he had like sort of a king cake baby situation where he put a whole almond in a slice.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
I love that. But the crazy thing about it was that he topped it with sliced almonds and I know that you can tell the difference, but that's yeah. a pretty big risk to take and ask someone to pick out the whole almond from the sliced almonds. You know?
What if they just have so many sliced almonds that they can congeal they can, in their
they
mouth?
They go into one and then you can't tell almond. The difference.
Damn, that's true.
But yeah, that it was cute that you could play the game.
That was cute. Yeah, you got two games. He gave two games.
Two games.
And it was really neat, you know? Neat.
Yes. He's, you know, he is our Christian. He loves neatness. He loves design. Yeah. He loves aesthetic. He knows what he's doing.
Cool flavors.
Okay, I want to talk about Leslie.
Yes.
I love Leslie.
It's so cool.
I'm going to need to save this for my judgy table, but I was so impressed. So impressed with what she made in the Showstopper. She made a tiered tart.
Tiered tart?
They didn't ask for a tiered tart, but she gave them a tiered tart.
Twofer.
Twofer. And it was beautiful.
It was so cool. I actually, when he said, oh, it's like kind of wonky, I'm like, I think that that's the right decision. I thought that was on purpose.
But also, like, did anyone like, else give you a tiered tart, Paul?
Yeah.
It's a structured tart.
Shut up, Paul. I just thought it was like kind of haphazard. Like it just felt so whimsical and fun. And it was, I really appreciated that Paul called out that there was like a single main like flavor and that mm-hmm. it shone. And I'm very pleased by that critique.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
okay. In talking about Leslie, we now must turn our attention to Jasmine because these two were very much the two dominating forces this episode. I would agree, actually, Aaron was in the mix for – so I was – okay, maybe pause on this. I was surprised that they said Aaron was in the bottom. I kind of thought Aaron was, like, rocking it, but maybe that was just because he did clunk.
He came
in
last in the technical.
Yeah, okay.
So that's tough, but he did so well with the beef patty.
Right. Anyways, okay, so Leslie and then we have Jasmine. Jasmine makes a tree of life and puts it on a frangipan and some pears and the, you know, it's beautiful and it's neat, but it's dry as hell.
Dry as hell. And that's also, I need to add orange poached pears. So we got an orange in there.
They always find a way.
They always find. Orange finds a way.
Do not let British people near your oranges. Unless you want them to make them into baked goods, in which case, maybe definitely.
Maybe they're obsessed with oranges because they lost so many young men to scurvy.
That is probably the most compelling theory that you could have put forward, given the information on hand. Seems really, really logically thought out.
Thank you. Which puts us, by the way, at 14 instances of orange this season.
Oh my god! Mm-hmm. And I know you're careful with your counting, but I would bet that we've missed at least 2 to 3.
I think we have. But thank you for recognizing that. I try to be careful.
Oh yeah, no, it's no fault of yours. It's just they are sneaky.
Sneak it in there.
Can we talk about like the conclusion of this episode and the judging? I was disappointed and surprised by this.
Perfectly put. Disappointed and surprised. I guess I wasn't so surprised that Natalia went home.
No.
But I was surprised by who won.
I agree. Yes. I'm like, if this was flipped and it had been Leslie that won 3 weeks in a row – I just felt like they could have thrown Leslie a bone, for Christ's sake, after Jasmine has won now 2 times back to back. It's close enough. You said she made a dry cake. Like, that math was not mathing for me this episode.
No, it's not just throw Leslie a bone. It's throw everyone a bone.
Yeah.
And this is where I will tell the story about my middle school class. There was a kid in my middle school class, and I remember in 8th grade, they did awards at the end of the year. And this kid and he was a stand-up kid. Like, he really was, and he deserved it. But he won every single category. Like, he won the English award. He won the math award. He won the newspaper award. Like, he just won. I think there were, like, 2 other people besides him who won. And I get that, like, meritocracy, whatever. But, like, A, it's not super interesting. And it also just, like, it's very demoralizing.
It's super demoralizing.
Leslie can have a performance like the performance she had this episode, which was exceptionally good.
Yeah.
On an incredibly technically difficult type of pastry or of baking. And still not get it. And it's like still Jasmine with her like type A schoolgirl smile, like, you know, charming us all. I'm not about it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And I just wish, I completely agree on that anecdote, by the way. Like, as the generation that got participation trophies, like,
yeah,
you don't know what that does. You don't know what that did to us.
Just also because, like, I whatever. You know what? Bake Off aside, there are still people doing excellent work in this tent. And that should be recognized.
It should be. But, you know, to play devil's advocate, it's competition. She had the best stuff, allegedly.
Allegedly, it was dry. It was bone dry.
Yeah. Allegedly. Rumor has it. Psh, rumor. You said it 5 minutes ago. I thought it was interesting when they were debating Natalia. I agree. I was not surprised by Natalia. I was surprised that they noted that she was trending on the bottom again. Like that there was some discussion or nod to her performance week over week. Mm-hmm. I found that interesting as, okay, are we taking that into account with this decision?
Well, you know, as with Top Chef in the past two seasons, they are very inconsistent when they look at cumulative performance.
Yeah.
And I think that while as avid reality competition television watchers as we are, I think that this is some cumulative judging has been something that audiences have been asking for a long time, because there's always like the one person who gets through and through and through, even though sort of in the middle or on the bottom, they're just not the worst. And I, while it was something that I think as a viewer, you want like justice for certain people, I think we need to do away with cumulative judging.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Maybe this is my judgy table. I'm just going to go right into it.
Go for it.
We need to get rid of, where's my timer? Cumulative judging on competition shows. And here's why. There need to be some parameters. There need to be some rubrics, and there need to be some boundaries around what is counted as part of your evaluation, or what is evaluated as part of your performance and what is not. Mm. And the lines get way too gray if you allow anecdotes and episodes or things that happened in episodes prior to bleed into the judging of the current episode. I think that while it might feel nice to get some of that brought into the conversation, it muddies the evaluation criteria. And I think if we are talking about fairness, if we're talking about meritocracy, then we cannot let that bleed into the conversation of elimination.
We must not be a two-party system.
Precisely.
Just kidding.
I don't know what that means or how that relates to what we're talking about.
But we're debating democracy here. And meritocracy and ocracy. And don't look at my past performance, ocracy.
Yeah, never look. Please don't look at it.
Don't look backwards.
That would suck. Okay, that was my judgy table. Bits, do you have a judgy table?
I do have a judgy table.
Okay, well, Bits, your judgy table starts now.
Why can't Paul and Prue talk to one another? They never address each other. When they give their critique, they only ever talk directly to the contestant. Like, once I have noticed this, I cannot unnotice it. Prue says her piece directly to the person. Paul says their piece directly to the person. This episode, more than many in my memory, they disagreed. Or there were, like, core things where they contradicted each other in a way that really gave, like, the parents are fighting. And, you know, they're picking opposing sides just to, like, be a contrarian. But it also kind of gives – I don't know if you're familiar with or have seen The Sixth Sense recently, but I'm left with the sensation of, like, Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. Like, can Prue and Paul not see each other? Like, is it that, like, they're one of them is dead and they, like, just – the other one is, like, literally physically not in the room with them? Like, it just is very strange to me. There's zero judge, like, tête-à-tête outside – like, within the tent. And I found that very odd. And whatever.
I also think that something that we love about Top Chef, and I know that that's our gold standard, is the people who are experts discussing their opinions on things is just as interesting as them experiencing the thing.
Yes, because I agree.
Baking, cooking, these are subjective art mediums.
Right.
And hearing people coming from different perspectives talking about them is inherently interesting.
Yes.
I totally agree with you. That's a great point.
But I get why we got there. I get why I get why that is the case, because they're making like a it's you know, quick fire setup. Yep. So they have to judge it table side, but you lose something with that. And that's exactly what you're describing. But Nancy, on the whole, this was an extremely fun episode.
I loved it. And I can't wait for next week. I don't know what the theme is, but I'll know it by the time you listen to this pod next Monday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.